And I'm Kyle Kellums. In a few minutes, a tour of the Daisy Gun Manufacturing Plant in Rogers. The company has been making BB guns, air rifles, and other items for more than 100 years. And during that time, generations of kids have asked for one of their own.
Ralphie, what would you like for Christmas?
Horrified. I heard myself blurted out.
I want an official Red Ryder carbon action 2-inch Owensball air rifle.
The holiday classic, A Christmas Story, immortalizes a young boy's desire to get a Red Ryder BB gun, a Daisy Standard model, and his mother's reluctance to let him have one.
The interesting thing about the movie A Christmas Story is, people ask, does it contribute to sales? And I always respond, it would if they ran it on Thanksgiving instead of Christmas Eve.
Joe Murfin is chair of the board for the nonprofit organization that runs the Daisy Airgun Museum in downtown Rogers. The museum, a separate entity from the company, tells the 125-year history of Daisy, a company that began in Plymouth, Michigan. But guns weren't part of the plan 125 years ago.
Daisy can trace its roots to a company called the Plymouth Iron Windmill Company. Those were the original founders of the company. And there was a gentleman on the board of that windmill company named Clarence Hamilton. Hamilton developed his own company called Plymouth Air Rifle Company. Hamilton also made Hamilton Firearms, 22 rifles, which they're not made anymore. They haven't been made in probably 80 years, and they're quite valuable. So Hamilton was a gun maker of sorts, and he was on the board of the windmill company.
The windmill company was suffering financially in the late 19th century, and Hamilton convinced it to manufacture an air rifle he designed. He thought it could be used as an incentive to entice prospective customers to purchase a windmill.
So there's a legend out there that Daisy was the first premium item ever made. Buy a windmill, get an air gun.
Joe Murfin says some people call that claim apocryphal, but there are testimonies from an early salesman from the company describing his use of the guns as a way to sell windmills. Regardless, the company did begin a transition into the most familiar name in the BB gun history. The Daisy Air Gun Museum shows off the evolution of the company's products.
This is the little steel gun that Mr. Hamilton made. He brought it to the Daisy to the windmill company. He hands it off to Lewis Cass Huff, who was the general manager, and he says, go ahead, Lewis, fire it. And Huff fired it into his wastebasket, and then he took it outside and shot it through a wooden shingle. And he said, boy, Clarence, that's a Daisy.
The first model, that model, was called Daisy, but the company wouldn't officially adopt the moniker until 1895. In the 116 years under that name, Daisy has become synonymous with the product. Recent polling indicates that when asked to identify without any prodding, nearly 90% of those asked name Daisy as a manufacturer of BB guns and air rifles. Creating quality products has certainly helped the reputation, as has an iconic advertising campaign. Daisy created relationships with fictional characters like Buck Rogers. The 25th century's most famous comic strip adventurer famously carried a gun called a disintegrator. And Daisy made a version for his fans beginning in the early 1930s.
People that collect sci-fi things today will tell you that that gun is the shape of the Buck Rogers disintegrator with the fins and the grip, the way it's made, and the little window with the flashing noisemaker in it. That's what everyone today thinks of when you think of a ray gun. And no one knows what a ray gun is because it don't exist. But if you ask somebody to draw a ray gun, they will draw something very similar to that. So it's kind of become the universal symbol for what a space ray gun looks like.
Other famous endorsements followed, including real people like World War I ace Eddie Rickenbacker. But no association is more lasting for Daisy than the one with comic strip cowboy Red Ryder. Though the strip ceased publication in newspapers nearly 50 years ago, it was a wildly popular piece of pop culture in the middle of the last century. It spawned a radio program and more than 24 movies. More than 70 years ago, Red Ryder's creators, writer Steven Schlesinger and artist Fred Harmon, approached Daisy.
They really wanted Daisy to make a Red Ryder pistol. And that failed, but Daisy said, we will make a Red Ryder rifle. We've got a carbine. We can adapt. And Daisy actually designed the Red Ryder. Fred Harmon gave them the artwork, and they adapted it to the stock.
The licensing agreement, still in effect, is renewed through Red Ryder Enterprises and is believed to be the longest continuously operating licensing agreement in the country, now over 70 years. The museum is full of stories about the company and its products. One of the more interesting to local visitors is the story of how a Michigan-based company managed to migrate south to Benton County in 1958. Joe Mervin says Cass Huff, the grandson of the founder of the company, realized in the 1950s that Plymouth was changing, being absorbed by an auto industry that was enthusiastically gobbling up that region's workforce. A pilot, Cass Huff, had flown to Rogers on a previous trip and was impressed by the small town.
And then when he came down here and started talking to, and by the way, I think he went as far south as Fayetteville, and he went as far north as maybe Joplin, and just kind of that corridor is what he was interested in. And thankfully, I guess for little old Rogers, even though it was a town of 6,000 people, they had a Rogers Industrial Development Corporation back then. I don't know why, because I don't think there was anything here but chicken farmers. But, you know, there were just people really living off their own land and working at little stores downtown and things. But there was no major employer. It was mostly agricultural. There was a cider factory here, and the apple business was big. But there wasn't any type of industry here. But he met the people and he said, I think we can get an honest day's work for an honest day's pay out of this workforce. They have the kind of work ethic the people of Plymouth, Michigan had and that we desired in the 1880s. And that exists today in Arkansas. So that's why he moved the company here.
That decision, of course, has been part of Rogers almost ever since. And the road that leads to the Rogers Municipal Airport is Cass Huff Drive. The Daisy Airgun Museum is located at 202 West Walnut and Rogers and open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday. Daisy, of course, is still an operating company. And this week, we took a tour of the factory and watched Daisy guns being put together. In a moment, Antoinette will take us through that process. And there are more stories to share from the museum that you can hear at our website, ozarksatlarge.com, including the one discrepancy a Christmas story had regarding the Daisy Red Rider.
But the one thing that he got wrong is that it was never the Red Rider that had the compass and sundial. In the Daisy Museum, you can clearly see that it was the Buck Jones Special, the Model 107, came out in the 30s, which would have made it set in the 40s like that movie was, that had the compass and sundial. It wasn't even a lever-action gun. It was a pump gun. The Red Rider would have been made starting in 1940, and the Red Rider always looked pretty much like it looks today.
But why the film script remained unchanged is one of the items you can hear in our audio extra at ozarksatlarge.com.
That pony, little beaver. There's queer goings on up country. Let's hit the trail and find out.
You betcha, Red Rider. Get along. Get